Our first case for today is 2014-5146, Bantam v. United States. Mr. Huffman, please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Justin Huffman from the Camardo Law Firm in Auburn, New York. I represent Bantam, Inc., the appellants in this matter. To be clear here, what Bantam is challenging is the BOP's decision to eliminate Bantam from the competitive range, despite a reasonable request for an extension given the circumstances in this matter. Bantam's recitation of the history of this procurement simply highlights the BOP's history of bias against Bantam, especially in regards to this procurement. I'd like to point the Court to the Galen 2 case, which we cite in our brief.
Did your client ever obtain the necessary zoning to have violent offenders present in its facility?
During the initial procurement, they had, but what had occurred here was that...
I know, you had to move. So did you ever obtain it?
They did not because they were eliminated from the competitive range before they could, they were given the opportunity to do so.
They had the opportunity to do it, did they not?
Well, they had asked for an extension in order to, due to the circumstances here, to obtain...
The circumstances were that they applied late.
Well, what had occurred, that's not entirely what occurred here. What occurred was that Bantam had obtained Bantam zoning on its originally proposed facility at last, and when the BOP issued its corrective action in reconsidering the proposals, by the due to the passage of time there, Bantam zoning had lapsed, and because a school building had moved in nearby, it was unable to reestablish zoning at that site, so it was required to go back.
It got an extension of time to do that, right?
They had requested an extension, were given...
I thought there was like a stutter stop. There was a first attempt, and that didn't work out, and actually you filed a protest and went through a whole protest, and the agency says, oh, no, we'll let you start all over again.
Well, they had zoning originally. They had submitted it a couple of weeks late.
That's a little problem, isn't it? I mean, it says you're supposed to have proof of zoning, what, within 60 days before a certain date, and you didn't have it?
And that's a matter of discretion for the...
Right, but I mean, time is time. It's not uncommon that if there's a time you're supposed to have some prerequisite satisfied by a date certain and you don't, then you didn't qualify.
Well, Your Honor, we had contended that because...
It's not a world full of grace, government contracting, as you know. There are requirements.
Well, Your Honor, that issue was a matter of discretion, and we contend
so
that
you
because...
You are an abuse of discretion?
Yes, Your Honor. We have contended that because eliminating Bantam from the competitive range, and when the BOP... I would double back and say that at the time the BOP did so, they had... At the time the BOP even considered eliminating Bantam from the competitive range, they had already had Bantam's zoning certificate in its hand. So by eliminating Bantam, they eliminated competition and created a...
Was that at the new facility?
No, this is still...
That's the first time around.
Right.
And that I would have thought all of the alleged, the supposed government mistakes in the first go-around were wiped clean by the government's saying, okay, we'll start all over again.
Well, the problem
Why isn't that so? I mean, you were put out of contention and you came in and said, oh goodness, this isn't supposed to be a single source contract. It's supposed to be competitive. We've been knocked out. And the government says, I guess you're right, we'll reopen. Why doesn't that cure any possible government mistakes before the reopening?
Well, it's our contention that the BOP was aware that Bantam would have a zoning problem at that time because at the time they had issued the corrective action, Bantam zoning on that facility would have lapsed. So it was...
But that facility was going to be knocked out of play anyhow because school children were moving in the neighborhood and it would be improper to have released inmates in a facility near the children.
Right, and at that time, Bantam was not aware of that.
Right, but as a matter of looking at the circumstances, I would have thought that the original facility is history the minute that the school moves in. You clearly are not going to be able to get the government to agree to put a halfway house next to a school.
Which, Your Honor, that is essentially what happened here because the issue was due to the passage of time, it could no longer use that original facility.
But you want to obtain this contract, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the one obligation for you to obtain this contract is to have proper zoning, right?
Yes, sir.
And you had an obligation to obtain proper zoning, did you not?
Yes, sir.
Why did you delay in applying to the proper zoning board for the variance? Why didn't you do it as soon as it reopened?
Well, Bantam was in the process of doing so, and which is what they had requested the extension in order to do, and they had found a new facility and entered into an agreement, a right to use agreement, but because the BOP only gave Bantam an extension of 2 weeks.
They only gave an extension of 2 weeks, but isn't it true that Bantam didn't seek any type of extension or a move until 2 full months after the corrective action was taken?
Yes, Your Honor,
you wait 2 months and you do nothing. Now, you know during that 2 months, even if you didn't know a school moved in, you know your zoning expired on December 1st of 2013. You know that because that was clear on the face of your zoning. So corrective action comes. You know you're sitting on expired zoning approval. At that point, you knew in order to be able to compete for this contract, you had to get reapproved. So even if you didn't know there was a school there and you wouldn't therefore be approved, why is it okay for you to sit back and do nothing for 2 months after the corrective action and now be heard to complain about the fact when you finally did something 2 months later, you asked for an extension and they only gave you 2 weeks and that's not fair because it's not long enough?
Well, Your Honor, it wasn't that Bantam did nothing. They were in the process of negotiating other agreements. They were attempting to make arrangements with other individuals at that time. I understand that's not part of the paper record.
And how is it relevant to the zoning requirements?
Well, Your Honor, I believe Bantam was simply attempting to comply with the BOP requirements. And even if the BOP, or even if Bantam had been able to, the BOP was looking to shut Bantam down regardless because using a clause that they could not change their facility after X number of days. So Bantam was in a situation where essentially they were damned if they do, damned if they don't. Where if they had established zoning, they were going to be knocked out for untimely.
It's purely speculative on your part, isn't it?
No, Your Honor. That's right in the record with letters from the BOP telling Bantam that, advising Bantam that any change to their proposed facility would be untimely.
On the zoning issue, my recollection of the proceedings below was that you had a disparate treatment argument, which I don't believe you've made here. I thought your argument below was that the agency, your competitor here is a business unit that has a pre-existing facility that's performing the services. And it had a previously approved zoning, apparently, or it had some type. And I thought your argument below was that the government was cutting slack to your competitor on the zoning issue, but not you, and therefore there was unfair disparate treatment. But I didn't see that argument in your brief here.
Well, Your Honor, that essentially some of the issues below may have gotten slightly conflated because essentially Bantam's recitation of the previous procurement was essentially simply to show how the passage of time during the first procurement and challenge of that procurement prejudiced Bantam because of the passage of time and the zoning issue. And
Mr. Hoffman, your difficulty is the standard of review. I mean, I didn't mean by my questions to suggest that Bantam had done something wrong. But the problem is, under an abuse of discretion standard, it's hard for me to conclude that when they had 2 months to act and they didn't move it or seek corrective action during that 2 months or seek an extension after that during that 2 month period, how can I say it's an abuse of discretion for the district, for the lower tribunal to decide that 2 weeks was enough and then to boot him out of the process after that? Your problem is abuse of discretion. We don't get de novo review over that question. You sat and didn't act for 2 months, then they only gave you 2 weeks. If they had only given you 2 weeks the day they issued the corrective action, this would be a really different case, even under an abuse of discretion standard. But under an abuse of discretion standard, your hurdle is that Bantam didn't do anything for 2 months and then wanted to complain about only being given 2 weeks to fix things. You see the problem I'm having.
I believe so, Your Honor. What the issue there is that the BOP's course of conduct throughout this procurement, and quite frankly, relating to other procurements as well involving very, very similar issues. Not to get too deep into those issues, but there have been two procurements very recently in which...
Yeah, but none of that is relevant to this record. But let me make sure I understand your argument because you're into your rebuttal time and I want to make sure you have a chance. Your argument is that this record as a whole shows or demonstrates unfair treatment of Bantam in this process, even if they waited 2 months and maybe weren't as quick as they could have been, that the overall record shows that your argument is that they were unfairly treated.
In essence, yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear from opposing counsel. Mr. Werner, are you going? Who's going first?
Mr. Majerus.
Okay, Mr. Majerus.
Thank you.
I believe, you have 11 minutes.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Okay.
Yes. May it please the Court. My name is Ryan Majerus, and I represent the United States in this matter. This case is about timeliness, and we ask that this Court affirm the trial court's judgment that the agency was reasonable in excluding Bantam from the competitive range because of untimely zoning. What's critical in this case is the fact that they were late and that the requirements in the solicitation permit the agency to eliminate them from the competitive range.
Well, when you say they were late, you mean you're talking about between the May 28th and June 11th dates? Is that the lateness? Because I thought that was sort of forgiven by the government. So I didn't really think that you were here today arguing to me that lateness justified kicking them out at this point.
Correct, Your Honor.
That's not relevant.
Yes.
Okay, then why don't you get to whatever it is you think warranted kicking them out this time? Because
sure.
It seems like the government already relinquished, the other problems that Bantam may have had.
Yes, Your Honor, and the court found that those issues were moot. So following the initial protest, and the agency's decision to take corrective action, and I note that Bantam voluntarily agreed to that corrective action and agreed to dismiss their suit. Pursuant to that corrective action, what happened is that the agency reconsidered Bantam's proposal submitted in June of 2013, along with its proof of zoning. As Your Honors pointed out, that zoning expired in December, the beginning of December 2013. They were let back into the competition about a month and a half later, January 22nd, 2014. So they knew their zoning had expired, and they had continued to pursue their efforts to obtain the contract, yet did nothing to obtain proper zoning.
Yeah, but is your complaint that they should have been acting between December 1st, 2013 and January? During that time, the government had already kicked them out. So why? And they were protesting that. And so the record, as established by the time of the protest, would be the record upon which the government's proper action or improper action would be judged. So are you really faulting them for, at a time when they've been kicked out of the contract, not during that time seeking to renew zoning or extend? I don't know what the right terminology is.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that really your argument, that during that small window between December 1st and January, whatever, they should have acted? Is that your argument?
Yes, Your Honor. That is our position. I don't think that's critical to get to where we would like this court to go, because, as Your Honor pointed out, they were let back into the competition in January 2014. They knew their zoning had expired, and they did nothing. They didn't exhibit the necessary diligence. In fact, it was the agency that reached out to Banham about a month and a half later on March 11th saying, you know, we have your current zoning. We told you that's what we were going to consider. It's deficient. And then on March 14th, they issued discussion notices saying, you know, your zoning is deficient. Provide valid proof of your zoning. And not only that, that your zoning doesn't exhibit that you can cover all offenders, both violent and nonviolent.
That because of the school, or is that the nature of the zoning that they have actually had that was effective up until December 1st?
Well, so their initial proposal, which of course is not the issue because they well, it was at the time because they still – that was
the proposal. No, but I mean the zoning. I'm talking – the original zoning approval was for everything violent and nonviolent?
No, their initial proposal was just to cover nonviolent, and that was a problem. And so after the agency issued the discussion notice in the middle of March, they gave them 2 weeks to respond. Banham then at that point – this is March 26th, so over 2 months after they had let them back into the competition and informed them of such, they requested an extension and requested additional time to, and I quote, negotiate a new lease or purchase a new property, affirm the zoning for the property, apply for a special exception, create new floor plans, performance layout, 120-day availability and site plans. And they also noted that they were negotiating for a new site location with seven different potential properties. So they didn't inform the agency that they were
But they requested an extension at that time.
They had, yes.
And what was the answer to the request?
So this was the first notice that the agency had received that they were requesting a site change because their current zoning could not be used. And, and they note this in their response letter to Banham. The solicitation clearly states if you're going to do a site change, you have to do it within 60 days of your initial proposal. They're obviously long past that date. They're even past if you were to consider January 22nd, the day they were let back in.
Which is probably what the reasonable thing to assume.
Sure. And they're still late. They're still 2 days
late.
That's
what I mean. Okay.
And that's the reason we noted the initial timeline, because this just exhibits a lack of diligence, not only in the piece of this case that was mooted with the corrective action, but following.
Was an extension granted?
An extension was granted, but the problem is that they were not
– How long?
For 2 weeks to respond.
That's the 2 weeks.
Yes. But the problem is that –
That's pretty much an illusory extension, right?
Well, I wouldn't –
I mean, they're going to go find a new property. First, they got to go find one, right? That may take more than an hour.
Certainly.
Then they got to get zoning for it if they want to have it in play.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. And why I emphasize the language in Banham.
Is you're absolutely agreeing with Judge Clevenger that it was illusory, or absolutely that it was the situation?
It's not that it was illusory. It's that what they were asking to do would take months. And the agency has the discretion under the solicitation to find you're proposing a site change. The solicitation clearly states that it will be considered.
Is what you're saying that the agency looks back and sees the horizon here and they say this Banham character can't get his act together. He couldn't get his act together in Act 1 of the play. We gave him Act 2. He can't get his act together in Act 2.
Correct.
And so we are going to use our discretion to give him a very short time period, which probably means he can't possibly satisfy it, and thereby we will be able to move on and eliminate him from the competitive rank.
Well,
if a reasonable person is looking at the facts in that way, what's wrong with that view of the circumstances?
I think the critical point is that the solicitation says that if you're seeking a site change, that's an unsolicited proposal modification and may result in elimination. And the solicitation gives the agency discretion to eliminate from the competitive range if you're proposing a site change.
Well, I should add, in fairness to you, that part of what I should have said in the story also is that the government has an interest in resolving this housing issue promptly.
Absolutely, yes.
And they have in hand a facility that they've used before and are familiar with, and so long as the price is reasonable, and they can't wait forever.
Exactly, exactly.
Isn't it reasonable to infer that that's precisely why the government left itself with the discretion if you propose a site change to eliminate you, because they don't want to wait for all new zoning approval and everything else?
Yes, Your Honor. And I emphasize the point about all the pieces that they would have to do to get their zoning in place with this new property, because that could take a very long period of time. The agency doesn't have to entertain that and doesn't have to agree to do
that. But this would be a very different case, potentially, wouldn't it, if in January, when the corrective action occurred, suddenly Bantam said, okay, well, our zoning expired December 1st. It's going to take us 30 days to get an answer for reapplication. And the government said, we'll give you 2 weeks. Wouldn't that feel like maybe an abuse of discretion? Or
that potentially would be a different case.
But that's not this case.
That's not this case. And I know that this case, of course, is not in the record before the court, but opposing counsel referenced the other proceedings before this court.
No, we don't.
Okay, I won't speak.
Anything further you feel like you need to add?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, then why don't we let Mr. Majerus. Oh, no, you're Majerus. Mr. Werner. You've got your name slipped on my thing.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Werner has his time. And so if you really get desperate and need extra, Mr. Majerus conceded a little of his, so you can go a little bit over.
I hope I won't even use the 4 minutes, Your Honor. I'll try not to belabor anything. May it please the Court, I'm Jim Werner. I represent the intervener, Austin Wilkes. What I really want to do is just to make certain, and maybe they all got answered as we went along, but Judge Wallach, you asked a question at the very first question of the argument, and the answer is the record does not reveal that Bantam ever provided proof that they had zoning where they could accept all of the offenders required by the solicitation.
How it appeared to me.
Judge Clevenger, you asked the question about the way this transpired sort of in its totality. And importantly, and I think, Judge Moore, this went to one of your points, this was not just a question.
Well, you're going to cover all of it.
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't belabor anything, but answer questions.
You look really good in black, and my hair is black. Go ahead, keep going.
You also reference while you're doing the totality of circumstances why it is your client never showed proof of zoning.
My client did show proof of zoning.
Proof of zoning?
Absolutely.
That piece of paper that was in the record, that didn't say you had zoning.
Well, I think
it had occupancy. I'm supposed to presume that because you have occupancy, the city hasn't thrown you out for zoning violation?
I think given that they were an operating facility and the BOP knew that and understood that they were the operating facility in that location, yes, that would be reasonable.
The fact that you have a certificate of occupancy, let's assume you're running they're running a drug business in there. I mean, the fact that you're occupying a facility is irrelevant to whether or not you're satisfying all the requirements of zoning. Whatever, right?
I don't think that would be true because they were operating an existing
RRC. They never
RRC.
Produced, when the request for them to update their zoning, they never came in and said, we have this thing from the BZA, the Board of Zoning Approval, that says we have a piece of paper that shows we're zoning approved.
That piece
of paper I didn't see in the record.
They produced a new letter, and I don't have the exact site in my mind.
Yeah.
In response to the discussion notice.
That's what I said. They got a certificate. The city says you're occupying the property.
The second letter, the one that they provided in response to the discussion notice, made specific reference to the fact that they were authorized to continue operation of the halfway house at that location, as I recall, Your Honor.
And that would include zoning as well as other requirements?
I believe so. And I certainly believe that would have been a reasonable conclusion.
It was less than perfect. You know, zoning certificate, by way of proof.
I suppose you could say that about a number of the things, Your Honor. And I guess back to the point, what you also could conclude is that in this case, the requirement of the solicitation was for these offerors not just to provide a proof of zoning, but to maintain it, including through the life of the contract. And I think that's the point that you were describing earlier, that when you look at this, you realize that Bantam, who felt offended by the treatment they received in the initial response, began a protest in the summer. Took it first to the agency, took it to the GAO, didn't even file its protest to the Court of Claims until such time as it knew that its special exception had expired. It accepted with a voluntary dismissal of that initial protest the corrective action, and
it was being tenacious in pursuing its legal remedies.
And it should have been equally tenacious in maintaining its qualification under the solicitation, and it did not. It did nothing to do that, including, as Mr. Majerus pointed out, for well beyond 60 days after the clock had been reset. And so I think the facts are here that the only prejudice that Banham suffered in respect to this process was
you would agree, would you not, that a two-week extension in a circumstance where they don't even have a property to get zoning on is, I use the word illusory, I would say it's parsimonious.
Well, first of all, you know, all they requested was an extension to respond to the discussion notice. They never really requested an extension with respect to a new submittal. They requested and were granted a two-week extension to respond to the discussion notice which had said to them, we noticed that your proof of zoning, late as it was originally, says that you cannot accept violent offenders and you must have begun your use on December the 1st. In response to that, they said, we're going to have to do all of this stuff, but they never requested an extension to do that. They were granted a two-week extension to respond to the discussion notice, which is what they requested. And so, I've taken longer than I expected, but I believe that when you look at the circumstances here, you must conclude there was no disparate treatment. There were disparate proposals, but there is nothing here that indicates that there was any abuse of discretion and certainly no violation of the terms of the solicitation or any of the regulations by the government. Thank you, Your Honor.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Werner. Mr. Huffman, you have some rebuttal time.
Judge Clevenger, I may have misconstrued your question earlier about disparate treatment. I would like to point to pages 14 and 15 of our brief where we did address that issue, where the BOP asked Salsa Wilkes 2 months after it had already thrown Banham out of the competitive range for current zoning documentation. And we believe that shows disparate treatment right there. And I would like to point out that, again, Mr. Majerus acknowledged that a two-week extension was illusory. The BOP knew that it was completely impossible.
No, he didn't. I asked him that question, and he denied it.
I believe that in such a circumstance, in order to obtain a new facility, apply for zoning, and get zoning in a span of two weeks is simply impossible. Whether the BOP acknowledges that it knew that.
Did you ask, was the 2 weeks to obtain zoning, or was it to respond, as your opposing counsel said?
I believe it was to.
Well, tell me. Well, you know, so tell me.
It was to address the issues in the discussion notice, which would include addressing the zoning issue and the property issue.
The short is that your response, if it had been filed within 2 weeks, would have explained why 2 weeks wasn't enough time to get a new facility and get zoning.
Which is exactly what Banham ended up doing, which I believe that's at 1134 of the joint appendix, or 11334 in the joint appendix. Banham advised that it had obtained a new facility and that it had already scheduled a zoning hearing, but at that time the BOP eliminated Banham from the competitive range, so there was no reason for Banham to go forward at that time. Yeah, I believe I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huffman. We thank both counsel for their argument. The case is submitted.